Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Welcome to Word Wednesday with New Creation Christian Ministries. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I am here. My husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, is also here with us, and we are excited about what God is doing in our midst. We are New Creation Christian Ministries. We're located at 1482 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey. And every week, the Lord shows up and blesses us with his presence. Amen. We are a love-filled congregation, and we would love to have you stop by and visit with us on any given Sunday. Our service time is 12:30. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm just going to let Pastor Anthony say hello, honey. God bless you. Is the sound coming through okay?
Yes, amen. Amen. Looking forward to a powerful time in the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory. So Pastor Anthony and I would like to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Amen. I know that a lot of people are getting ready for this holiday season, you know, but we celebrate Jesus all year round. I thank God for a day, though, that's been set aside by the world to celebrate our risen Savior. Amen. So we continue to celebrate Jesus all year round, but we do thank God for the opportunity to share our faith with the world during this season. And speaking about season, today God wants to talk to us about shifting seasons. Or you could say shifting into a new season. So we're going to go right to the Word of God. I want to pray first. Father God, we praise your name. We worship you and we magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised, God. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, God. We thank you for your grace, oh God. We thank you for your hand that is upon our lives, oh God. We just praise you on today, God, and we worship you, oh God, even during this time of Advent as we are approaching the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And God, we ask, Father God, that you have your way in our midst on tonight. Let your will be done. Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to us, oh God, speak to our situations, oh God, speak to us on tonight, God. We are looking. Your people have come, and we have come to hear a word from you. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're about to say unto us as we have ears to hear what thus says the Lord. We ask that you save souls, change lives, set the captives free, open the eyes of the blind, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you have a great plan and that your plan is to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. So we are believing you today, oh God, for breakthrough, for manifestation. We are believing you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43. And we're going to read just two verses. Amen. Just two verses. As a matter of fact, God is even telling me to start with verse 14. So I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Isaiah 43:14. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ship in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again. Extinguish, snuff out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. Hallelujah. I can shout on that all by yourself. God is saying, behold, I am God. Amen. I am the one who led you out of captivity. I am the one who destroyed your enemies. And I am the one who is yet doing a new thing. God says, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? I don't know about you, but I just sense in my sensing, in my being, that God is doing something new. Amen. Hallelujah. God is up to something in the lives of his people. He says, I am doing a new thing. And let me tell you something here. As we are shifting seasons, so many people are in transition. My God, they're transitioning from one season to the next. A lot of people are looking to transition into a new year. Amen. But I would say that we have to be careful because God is not operating on our chronological clock. Amen. God is not operating on our chronological clock. He is operating, hallelujah, according to Kairos, according to the set time, according to his set time. Amen. According to his due season for our lives. Amen. And we talked about that on the last time that I was able to share with you on Word Wednesday, that God has a set predetermined time in which he's going to manifest everything that he told you he was going to do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So God says he makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He does the impossible. My God, you might not even be able to see your way right now, but God already made a way. My God, you might not be able to see it, but God has already done it. He has already made a way in the wilderness. He's already made rivers in the desert. Amen. Hallelujah. So God is saying the seasons are shifting. The seasons are shifting. Not only are we going into a new year, but God is doing a new thing and bringing us into a new season. Let's look at some more scripture. Amen. The first thing we have to do in order to go into our new season is that we have to perceive it. We have to perceive it. Amen. We have to have a clue as to what God is doing. We have to have that discernment to know that things have changed. My God. My God, even as I go over to the next scripture, I want to give a testimony. My God, for years I've had this pain in my body, in my shoulders, in my back, in my hips, in my legs. And I have carried this pain for years. Amen. They have said it was fibromyalgia. I felt like I was coming down with a bad case of arthritis and rheumatoid arthritis and all of this, amen. But for two decades, 20 years, I've had this pain, and I woke waking up every day with pain in my body. My God. But I just shared with Pastor Anthony about this testimony on this morning. Every night, Motrin, over-the-counter ibuprofen, every night I would take 3 tablets of Motrin, amen, every night in order to sleep, to shut the pain down from my brain. Because, you know, your brain, as long as your brain is perceiving pain, your brain cannot shut down and let you get the proper rest that you need. So I was taking these ibuprofen because I wanted to sleep. I need my beauty sleep. Come on, somebody. So one day, about 5 days ago, I said, you know what? I'm believing God by faith for my healing, so I'm not going to take these ibuprofen anymore. I refused to take the prescription medication that they prescribed me because it made me drowsy. But I was still leaning on those Motrin. So I said, I'm not going to take this anymore. And I did not, Pastor Emily did not hear those pills in the bottle coming out into my hand at night when I went to bed, because I said, I'm believing God by faith and thanking God for his healing. So when I went to bed, instead of taking the Motrin, I prayed and said, God, thank you for healing my body. Amen. And I told Pastor Anthony this morning, I said, it's been 5 days since I have taken Motrin, amen. And let me tell you, hallelujah, I have been sleeping real good, and there is no pain in my body. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. I tell you, it's a new season. When you begin to perceive that God is shifting things and changing things, amen, then you can realize and recognize that the things that you leaned on before, you don't have to lean on anymore. And I have been praising God all day long because there's no pain in my body. Amen. Hallelujah. And I even told my mother. My mother said, you take pills every night. I was just sharing with her those 5 days ago, 5 or 6 days ago, that I took Motrin every night. She said, every night? And I said, yeah, that can't be good for me, right? And she said, no, that's not good. So by faith, I put the Motrin down, and by faith, I am healed. Amen. God is shifting us. Somebody said, how long before God transitions me from here to there? Amen. God is just building your faith. He's building up your faith, amen, to get you to the point where your confession and what's in your heart lines up with what God is doing in this season and what God has said he was going to do. Amen. Let's look in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Somebody say, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. We're a mighty God. He's an awesome God. He is magnificent. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And this is Paul, and Paul is talking to the church of Philippi. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He goes on in verse 15 to say, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, let us be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So God is still revealing things to us. Amen. We have to always be looking to see and listening to hear what God is doing and saying to us in our new season or in our now season as we transition into our new season. Amen. Hallelujah. God is yet speaking. And Paul says, I haven't apprehended. I haven't gotten there yet. Amen. He said, but I forget those things which are behind. And that's the next thing that we have to do. We have to forget those things which are behind. Amen. We have to not focus on what they did and what they said and how we messed up and how we tried before and didn't make it and how God prophesied something to us before and it didn't manifest and how we believed God before and it didn't come to pass. We have to forget what's behind us, amen, because you can never go where you're going while you're dwelling on where you've been, amen. So you have to forget what's behind you and press for what's ahead of you, amen. We have to press into the promises of God. We have to press into our heart. Yeah, yeah, the desires of our heart. Because God says as we delight ourselves in him, that he will give us the desires of our heart, amen. Hallelujah. God will put in our heart what it is that we should desire even. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm talking good up in here. We have to hear God because we're not talking about churchianity, amen. We're talking about kingdom, amen. When we get to the point where we're like, our minds are focused on the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The promises of God, the plan of God, the transitions of God, the timing of God, the new things of God. Amen. Then we will refuse to dwell on what's behind us. Amen. So we have to forget those things. And that's what he said in Isaiah. He said, remember not. Remember not the former things. Don't dwell on the hardships. Don't dwell on the disappointment. Don't dwell on the pain of the past. Don't dwell on the rejection or the abandonment. Don't dwell on those things. Don't dwell on the anger and the bitterness that the enemy will try to feed you, amen, to hold you back from moving forward, amen, into the new season, amen, that God has for you. You cannot take the old thing into the new place. Yeah. You have to let them go. You know, God told Lot's wife, he told the angel of the Lord to tell Lot's wife and to tell Lot and his children, don't look back. I'm taking you out of here. I'm getting ready to transition you, but you can't look back. I'm getting ready to take you to a new place, but you can't look back. And the Bible said, but Lot's wife, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back and forfeited her destiny. She looked back and became ineffective for the kingdom of God. Somebody shout, I'm not looking back. Amen. I'm not looking back. I'm not going to dwell. She began to dwell on where God was trying to take her out of, the place that he was trying to deliver her from. Amen. Because a lot of us need to be delivered, amen, from some things. We need to be delivered from a lack of faith. We need to be delivered from stinking thinking. We need to be delivered, my God, from being angry at what people have done to us. We need to be delivered, my God, from sin. So God is saying, I'm trying to deliver you from this old place and take you to a new place. And Lot's wife looked back, and she got stuck right there. Somebody say, I'm not getting ready to be stuck. I'm going to get stuck. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Let me show you a good way that the devil uses. Let me show you the main way, one of the main ways that the devil uses to get us stuck. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I started out with the NIV, but I love the King James. Amen. The King James is the Bible that I study from, that I use. So I'm more comfortable with the King James Bible. But you can use whatever version of the Bible that is best for you. Amen. Through chapter 6, let's look at verse. Jesus here is talking. Let's look at verse 12. And he says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. And he talks about being hypocritical, but I really want to focus on verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Yeah, you may be forgiven of sin. You may have been saved. But how many of you know we still commit trespasses after we're saved? Amen. And God is saying that if you want to continue to be forgiven by me, you have to continue to forgive people who trespass against you. Amen. We can't hold the grudge. If you know me, you know that I refuse to hold a grudge. Because when you hold a grudge holds you. Come on, somebody. When you hold on to unforgiveness, unforgiveness holds on to you. When you hold on to anger, anger holds on to you. I refuse to hold a grudge. And people say, you know, Pastor Rebecca, you're just so forgiving. You're so wonderful. Let me tell you something. I told the church on Sunday, it hurts me to forgive. That's how much you have to forgive. You have to forgive until it hurts. You have to forgive people when you know they don't deserve to be forgiven. Amen. Because it sets you free and it keeps you free. Amen. In other words, Jesus is saying that there's a supernatural power in forgiveness. Because when you forgive men their trespasses, it automatically sets you free. Amen. And your Heavenly Father releases anything that may be held against you. It happens instantaneously. Amen. It sets you free. You are set free when you set others free. Amen. Hallelujah. So in order for you to transition to your next, you have to forgive. You have to be a forgiving Christian. You have to be forgiving like Jesus was when he was being beaten, when he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue as to who they're messing with. And in the same way, you know, when people come against you, they don't have a clue as to who they're coming against. That's why Jesus told us to pray for people who come against us. Because, whoa, my God, whoa. And you really don't want people to fall under the wrath of God. So you have to forgive people because God said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. So when they mess with you, they're messing with God. When they come against you, they're coming against God. So we have to forgive. Amen. And a lot of us are stuck right here in unforgiveness. We can't move forward because we won't forgive. You're in disobedience. You're in disobedience because God can't forgive you because your trespass, when you refuse to forgive somebody, your trespass becomes disobedience. You become obstinate and stiff-necked, rebellious, when you refuse to forgive because forgiveness is not commanding you to forgive. Because if you can't forgive, you can't love. And your power operates out of love. Amen? Hallelujah. Our power operates out of love. Unforgiveness will stifle your anointing. My God, my God. Unforgiveness will block the oil from flowing. The only thing that allows oil to flow like it needs to flow is the love of God, because God is love. Amen. And he is the power. Amen. He is the dunamis, my God. So we have to forgive. Amen. Let's look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 2. Somebody's making up their mind right now to forgive some people. Just think about all the people that have done you wrong and go down the list. I mean, I challenge you to write down the names of the people who have done you wrong and forgive them. And just go and say, I forgive this person. You don't have to go to them. But go down the list, and as you're going down the list, say, I forgive JoJo. I forgive Bebe. I forgive Anne Marie. I forgive, amen, my spouse. I forgive my child. I forgive my parents. I forgive that person that hurt me, my sibling, my sister, my brother, amen. I challenge you tonight, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not let another night go by without forgiving these people, amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to go down to verse 30. I believe we're going to look at verse 38. 38. Hallelujah. No, God is really guiding. I wrote 38, but as I look at the scripture, God is having me to just change up a little bit. I'm just going to flow. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The thing that we have to do in order to go into our next, we have to repent. We have to repent. Amen. Or let me put it like this. We have to change our thoughts and behavior. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a big problem in the church right now. And the problem is that the people of God won't repent. Amen. They won't change the way that they think about their actions and then thereby change their actions. Amen. A lot of people, we're caught up, a lot of Christians are caught up in sins of the flesh because they refuse to repent. Amen. And the church does not want to talk about sin. Amen. We've gotten into a trap where we skip over text verses like this. We are not teaching the people that God will not bless mess. My God, we're not teaching the people that God wants to move them from one place to another, that God wants to change things for the better in their lives. We're not teaching the people that they need to repent. That means to change one's mind, for better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. We need to hate the sins that we find ourselves committing. Amen. We need to repent. My God. And that keeps us stuck. It keeps us stuck right there in a carnal place, in a place that is conducive to the natural side of man, as opposed to a place that's conducive to the supernatural spirit of God. God wants us to move out of the natural into the supernatural realm. Amen. So we have to repent of the natural act of the sins of man, embrace the supernatural realm of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to change our mind about how we do church. We don't go to church just to be a person sitting in the seat. We go to church to receive our marching orders from God, to receive a fresh infilling of the anointing, to be empowered, amen, to be edified and equipped, to come back out into the world to make a major impact on the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Starting with our family, starting with our community, starting with our children, our spouses, people that we love that don't go to church. Hallelujah. So we have to repent even of the way that we see church. We have to repent of not bringing our tithes and offerings to the church. Amen. Because God wants to use our monies. God, and then when we give God the tithe and the offering, amen, when we bring the tithe and the offering to God, he opens up the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing so big that we can't even receive it. Amen. God looks upon our offerings and our tithes with favor. And then God begins to operate in the principles that he set forth, the principle of the tithe, amen, where he begins to release the blessing to us. So God has all of this in store for us, and if we would just embrace God and obey God, then we could receive everything that he has for us. And it's not a blatant sin sometimes that stops us and gets as simple as disobedience in any area where God is trying to move us. It won't put us in hell, come on, but it will stop us, amen, and put us in limbo and keep us between where we need to be and where God wants to take us and where we want to go. It will keep us from going there and keep us stuck to where we are. Amen. So somebody says, I need to repent. Let's keep moving and go into the book of Luke chapter 9. I pray this is helping somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want the shifting of my season to shift me. Amen. I don't want to miss the shift. We don't want to miss the shift. Come on, somebody. The shift, my God, has come. And we, and not only has it come, but it comes perpetually. My God, it's continual. So you can't miss your season, amen, because God is always there trying to move you and shift you into your season, amen. You can delay your season, but you can't miss it, amen, because, again, your season is not conducive and dependent upon the chronological time. Let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And I'm going to read verse 62. Luke chapter 9, let's read verse 62. I pray you're writing these scriptures down and that you could go back and begin to meditate on them. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So the next thing that we have to do in order to shift into our season is to make ourselves fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. And how do we do that? By being resilient, by refusing to longingly at what is behind, and again, by forgiving those things that have happened, and then also by, check this out, by having a bounce back anointing. Yeah. Here he's talking about not putting your hands to the plow and saying, I need to go back and handle some things in the natural realm, but just continuing to go deeper into the things of the supernatural and to continue to say, you know what, I'm not going to take my hand off of the plow. I'm going to continue to do the work that Jesus gave me to do. I'm going to continue to move forward into my next season. Amen. I'm not going to let anything stop me. Not even hardship. Oh, my God. Not even adversity. My God, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to have a bounce back anointing. Go wrong and I find myself failing or falling, I'm going to go and pick myself up again. I'm going to put my hands to the plow and continue to plow through these situations that are trying to hold me back. I'm not going to find myself unfit for the kingdom of God. We have to be resilient. Amen. Hallelujah. Resiliency is the power or the ability to return to the original form, position, etc., after being bent, compressed, or stretched, an elasticity, amen, when you are elastic in your approach to life, amen, where you can spring back into shape, amen, you don't get bent out of shape, amen, and you continue to move forward. So we have to be resilient, amen. It's the ability to recover readily from illness, depression, adversity, or the like. So in other words, no matter what comes my way, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No matter what you face, no matter what you encounter, no matter what they do to you, no matter what they say about you, you are more than a conqueror. Because no matter how hard it gets, no matter how much you want to quit, you refuse to quit. You refuse to give up. You refuse to go back to go back to what? You refuse to turn, my God, from what God has given you to do, what God has said about you. You refuse to give up on pursuing the path that God has you on. You are resilient. You are elastic in your approach to life. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a bounce back anointing. Amen. Somebody write that down. Write it on your paper. I have a bounce back anointing. And then the next thing is going to be found in 1 Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Actually, we're not going to look at 1 Timothy. Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 11, 12. Matthew chapter 11, one verse, 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We magnify your name. You are worthy. We thank you for your anointing to teach and receive your word, God. We thank you for your anointing, oh God, that's allowing this word to bear fruit in our lives, God. We praise you, oh God. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And Jesus is speaking here. And he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to not only be resilient and forgiving and all of the other things that we've already talked about, but you have to fight. You have to fight. Paul told Timothy and amen. Hallelujah. You can't just lay down and let the devil have his way in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, in your finances. You can't just let the devil have his way in your mind and tell you every kind of lie and you just receive it. You can't let the devil make you lay down and quit. You have to fight back. You have to put on the full armor of God, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. You have to have your feet shod with the readiness of peace to spread the gospel of God. You have to have your sword ready, which is the word of God. Put up the shield of faith so that you can ward off the fiery darts of the evil one. And praying always in the spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray always. My God, you have to be geared up and you have to put your fist up, put up your spiritual dukes and be ready to fight the good fight of faith. You do not have to fight your enemies. You do not have to fight your haters, but you have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You fight back with prayer. You fight back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With your positive confession from the word of God, you fight back. Hallelujah. By being geared up, putting on the armor and showing up. Come on, somebody. Standing after you have done all to stand. Stand in the power and the might of God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You stand because God will fight your battle for you. Yes, he will. But you have to show up. You have to show up in faith and knowing that, you know what, I'm showing up in faith. I'm showing up in faith. I know they told me no, that I can't have the position that I applied for, but I'm showing up in faith. I know I'm not qualified for the position, but I'm showing up in faith. I know my credit is not applicable for me to get a loan for a car, a new vehicle, but I'm showing up in faith because I need a car. I know that I was turned down for a mortgage before, but I'm showing up in faith and I'm going to apply again because I don't want to rent anymore. God has shown me that he's going to give me this house. I'm showing up in faith. Amen. So we have to fight. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence take it by force. Amen. Hallelujah. Violence. We have to understand that word for violence is to use force, to apply force, to force, to inflict violence, or either to suffer violence, to press. It says we suffer violence, but the violence is strong, the forceful. Those who use force take it by force. We seize it. We carry it off by force. We eagerly grab a hold of the kingdom of God. In other words, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you're going to come against opposition. My God, there are going to be some times when the enemy of your destiny, which is Satan, amen, will send out devils and demons, amen, to come against you in the spirit realm that will affect you in the natural realm, amen. And what we have to do and what you and I have to do is that we have to know that at this time we are suffering violence. We are suffering an attack from the enemy. We are under what we like to call spiritual attack, amen. But the Bible says that the violent, amen, that would be us, because we're not just going to lay down and take it, amen. We're also going to exercise force, amen, which means that we're going to fight back in the spirit realm, amen, and we're going to seize the kingdom of God. We're going to eagerly and aggressively grab hold of the kingdom of God, amen, hallelujah. And what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a dominion of the King, Jesus, in our lives. Amen. It's the dominion of our King, Jesus, in our lives, the kingdom of heaven. And it means that the heaven has authority over the earth realm. In other words, whatever's happening to us down here, God in heaven has authority over all of that, all of that. Come on, somebody. I'm saying whatever you're walking through right now, God has authority over all of that, amen, because we're kingdom, amen, and we have taken the kingdom of heaven by force. That means that I'm not letting go of God, and I'm not letting go of what God has said about me. Hey, glory, hallelujah, I'm not letting go of God, and I'm not letting go of what God has said about me. And yes, you will get some bruises. Yes, you will go through some afflictions. Yes, the devil will attack your body. Yes, you will have to face things. It won't be easy. It won't be easy being a kingdom citizen. It won't be easy transitioning from here in the natural realm to being in the supernatural realm while you are yet living. I'm not talking about death. I'm not talking about dying and going to heaven. I'm talking about living in the kingdom while we're here on earth. Amen. In other words, I'm saying God is in control. God is in full control. No matter what the devil does, no matter what those demons try to do, we have the authority even over them. Jesus gave us authority. Come on, somebody. We have the authority to cast out demons. Come on, and devils. Come on. We have the authority over every serpent, amen, including that fiery serpent, Satan. Come on. Hallelujah. We already have authority. That's why God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but one of love, one of power, and a sound mind. Amen. You don't have to operate in fear. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen to your children. Don't be afraid that your child will never come out of that state of depression, that your child will never come off of drugs, that your child will never come out of that homosexual relationship. Don't be afraid that your child is going to get in trouble and they'll never be able to get out of trouble, because God said that our seed is blessed and great is the peace of your children. So if your child is going through anything, and I'm talking adult child or minor child, just go ahead and write it down and put it in your Bible. Great is the peace of my children. And every time you open your Bible, go ahead and meditate on that scripture. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we take it by force. Amen. The kingdom. We take the kingdom by force. We shift into our next season. Amen. God has a whole new season for you. It's getting ready to get a whole lot better for you. My God. You're not always going to have to suffer. You're not always going to have to struggle. Amen. God is about to do a whole new thing in your life. Amen. It's not always going to be so hard. It's not always going to be lack in your life, because God has not given us the spirit of poverty. Amen. He said wealth and prosperity are in the homes of my righteous, in the homes of my people. Amen. So we have blessings and prosperity, amen, to look forward to. And if you don't have it yet, that's because your kingdom is suffering violence. That's because you're getting into the kingdom is suffering violence, amen. You've been under attack in the realm of your finances. You've been under attack in the realm of your marriage. You've been under attack in the realm of your ministry. Come on, somebody. And we have to take it by force. We're going to stand. We're going to stand in the power of God's might. That's how we take it by force. And doing all of these other things that I say, amen. Doing all of these other things. We can't just pick and choose. Come on. We have to, the whole book, come on. We have to take the whole counsel of God and put it into play in our lives. Let's look at the book of James. James chapter 4. I want to show you really why sometimes we have a hold up and why we're not getting everything that we want from God and why we're not shifting into our next season sometimes. Amen. This is going to catapult us. This is going to catapult us into our next season. This scripture right here. Because the devil has used so many of these things here to keep us stuck. Amen. Moving from stuck to our next. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about shifting into our next. Amen. I'm ready to shift tonight. Amen. I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of not having everything that God has for me. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterous and adulteresses. Wow. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the Lord and judges the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. But God is speaking here. My God, and some people will say, well, that's legalism, and you talking, you know, about rules and regulations, and we don't want to hear that. Just tell us about our blessings, Pastor. Tell us about our blessings. And, you know, we have to be careful that we don't skip over these difficult verses of the Bible. We got to be so careful. Wars and fighting among you. We're fighting each other. We're hating on each other. When we talk about haters in the church, we're talking about Christians. We're talking about fighting and warring with each other. That's not of God. Lust that war in your members, you know, things that we desire that war in our flesh, that war in our flesh, whether our belly for food or our heart for greed or our loins for sex, that war in our members. We lust and we have not. We kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. We fight a war, yet we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we receive not because we ask amiss. We ask with the wrong motives. Come on, somebody write, I need to consider my motives. Why do I want this? Why do I want a big church? Why do I want to be married? Why do I want that fancy car? Why do I want that house? Why do I want to be in ministry? Why do we want it? Is it so that we could brag and boast? Is it so that we could feel good? Why do we want this stuff? Amen. Is it because we are lusting? Come on, somebody. You adulterers and adulteresses. James, God just called us adulterers and adulteresses. He said, you are cheating on me with the world. You're cheating on me with the things of this world. My God, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't you know that the world hates me, and when you become a friend with the world, not people in the world, but the things of this world, when we desire fleshly, carnal things, that we are coming now in enmity with God. He says, whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We need to teach this, y'all. We need to teach this. No, not legalistically, but we need to teach this. This is how we teach to be disciples of Christ. My God, why should I give up drinking and smoking and slanging? A pastor told me slanging means slanging drugs or something. I mean, why should I give up sleeping around outside of marriage? Why should I give up sin? Because that's love of the world, and that makes us an enemy of God. My God, we should abhor these things. We should hate these things. Amen. The scripture says that God envies. He's jealous. He's jealous. Amen. The spirit that dwells in us, he lives in us. And we take him to these places when we do these things. We make him a partaker. Oh, my God. When we do these things, it keeps us stuck. My God. But it says, hallelujah. There's always good news because he says he gives more grace. He gives more grace. My God. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. God gives us more grace. But it says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. My God, that's why he says we have to submit ourselves. So when we're not proud, when we submit ourselves, say, God, I know I messed up. I'm a wretch. I'm the worst of sinners, like Paul said. I'm a wretch. I can't contain this flesh. I can't stop being a glutton in my own flesh. I can't stop being jealous of people. I can't stop sleeping around, God. I can't. It's hard. I can't do it in my flesh. But, God, I know I can do all things through Christ. Come on, somebody. We can do all things through Christ. We can't do it without Jesus. I can't do this without Jesus. I cannot contain my flesh without Jesus. Amen. I can't contain my anger without Jesus. I can't stop cursing people out without Jesus. I can't stop being unforgiving without Jesus. God, I need your grace. I'm humbling myself under your hand. I'm submitting to you, God. And it says resistance. All of those things that I talked about are from the devil. And we have to resist the devil, and then he will flee from us. Draw near to God, and then God will draw near to you. Do you know that the devil cannot stand in your life when you draw near to God? The devil does not have a chance when we draw near to God. Amen. He does not have a chance when we draw near to God. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. Your heart, out of the heart flow all of the issues of life. Put your mind, make your mind single-minded. He calls you double-minded. We have to make our mind single-minded. This is helping somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. This is not the constant state, but he's saying mourn and weep about your sin. Stop laughing about sin. Stop saying, oh, God knows my heart, and making a joke of it. Amen. He's saying consider your ways and turn. My God, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And look at that. And then he shall lift you up. God shall lift you up right up out of the muck and the mire. He will lift you up out of your affliction. He will lift you up out of your weaknesses. He will lift you up out of your sin. My God, God wants to transition us, but I said it earlier. We can't take this old stuff into our new place. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We can't take the old stuff into the new place. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to resist the devil and his ways and draw near to God and submit to God's will. Amen. Let's look at, I think I have time for this scripture, 1 Corinthians. This is the final thing. 1 Corinthians verse. Amen. God is so good. I love God. He loves us too much to leave us where he finds us on a daily basis. God is constantly working out things with us. As we work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling, as we work to be a part of the kingdom of God and to inherit all of the blessings of the kingdom, God is working right with us. Amen. Hallelujah. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us, but he's always with us. I thank God that we serve that kind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. Somebody said, Pastor, it's tight, but it's right. The word of God is tight, but it's right. God loves us so much. Amen. Purge us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to prune us. Come on, somebody. Prune me, Jesus. Somebody shout, prune me, Jesus. Prune me. Prune me. Take away everything in me that's not bearing fruit. Prune me, Jesus. Prune me, huh? Prune me, Jesus. My God, that's my prayer. Prune me, Jesus. I know it hurts, but prune me. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Check this out. Check what God is saying to us out. If you thought what I just preached from James was hard. He says, there has no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. You're not the only one struggling. Come on, the struggle is real. You're not the only one going through. But God is faithful. Come on, somebody. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above that which you can't handle. Amen. And that's what the final thing I want to say to you. Remember, as God is shifting you, as you're in the middle of your shift, amen, remember, as God is shifting you into your new season, remember God's faithfulness. Amen. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted for that which you are able to endure. He will always make a way to escape. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. I have two more minutes. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, hallelujah. Verse 11, hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou, or what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, you see well. And God is letting us know on today. Hallelujah. That word hasten means to wait, to watch, to awake, to be alert, to keep watch up, to be wakeful over. Amen. Hallelujah. To hasten. Amen. God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. I'm here to tell you that you're never alone. As God is transitioning you to your new season, as he is shifting you, you are not alone. God is watching over his word to perform it. Amen. God will bring it to pass. That word perform, hallelujah, means that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. God is going to perform his word in your life. God is going to manifest his word in your life. God is going to accomplish his word in your life. He says, I'm watching over my word to accomplish it. Amen. Hallelujah. In the set time, in the due time, God's going to bring his word to pass in your life. Amen. The final scripture, you get the prize for the final scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12. This is my last scripture. This is the last one. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, when I was in the club, they used to say, last call for alcohol. My God. This is the last call for the word of God, which is much better than alcohol. Come on. This is the last call for the new wine. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the new wine, the wine of the word of God. Amen. the supernatural wine, amen, that's better than any natural wine that man can concoct. Hallelujah. The new wine, amen, hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 12. Verse 28, God is serious about his word, amen, and he's serious about performing his word in your life. God says in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 28, therefore say unto them, and I'm saying it unto you on tonight, thus says the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, says the Lord God. Hallelujah. That was so good. I need to say it in the NIV version. So I'm going to click it over to the NIV. Hallelujah. God says, my word shall not be prolonged. There shall not be any more delay. I'm getting ready to send that over to the International version of the Bible. God wants you to hear in another version. He wants you to hear in plain English. Ezekiel chapter 12, 28, therefore say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to go ahead and give God some praise as I close the book in the name of Jesus, even as God has is transitioning you. My God, in this season of transitioning, in this season of shifting, my God, as God is shifting seasons, as God is shifting you into a new season, he said, remember my faithfulness to my word, everything that I have spoken to you, it shall come to pass. None of my words will be delayed. God said, now my word is about to come to pass. The delay is over. The wait is over. It's time for the fulfillment. God said, you have shifted into the season of fulfillment of my word. Hallelujah. God is getting ready, getting ready, getting ready, my God, to bring some things to pass in your life. That's why he's getting you ready. Come on, somebody. The only thing that can hold back the word of God right now is you. Come on. Hallelujah. You got to put the word in motion in your life and begin to operate in the word of God. Go back and re-listen to this. Hallelujah. And begin to put the plan in motion and do what God says. Find anything that's out of order and put it in order. Don't let the devil hold back your blessings any longer. Don't let your own self hold back your blessings any longer. Release, my God, release anything that you've been holding on to that's outside of the will of God so that God can release you into your new season. Amen. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing is coming your way. Amen. It's time for breakthrough. It's time for the shifting of the season. It's time for you to enter into your new season. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for this word on tonight, God. We ask, Father God, that you will continue to bless your people as they have assembled tonight to hear your word. God, we ask that you will put a blessing upon them even as they meditate on the scriptures that have been released on tonight, God, and that you will give your people, Father God, the wisdom, oh God, the power, oh God, the ability, oh God, hallelujah, to continue to move forward as you have shifted them into their new season, God. We thank you for the shifting on tonight, God. We thank you that the old things have passed away, and behold, you are doing a brand new thing. And, Lord, we embrace the new on tonight, God. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and praise God. Well, God bless you. Feel free to sow a seed into please do so. Please do so. Please do so a seed. It's a new thing. God says, I'm doing a new thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is a season of sowing. God's even releasing me on tonight that this is a season of sowing. Amen. That we continue to sow because it's also a season of reaping. Amen. So we can sow. Amen. Every opportunity you get, sow into this ministry. Every opportunity you get, sow into the word. Sow into the word that God is using to bless you. Amen. chose so by going to our website at nccmonline.org. Amen. So you're seeing and bless this ministry and bless the Lord, amen, with your seed, amen. Meet us on Sunday at 12:30 at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're located at 1482 Maple Avenue in Hillside, New Jersey. We thank God for each and every one of you, amen, and we love you. For some of you, we won't see until after Christmas, so Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, amen. Merry Christmas. We love you. We thank God for you. God bless you. Go in peace and serve our God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.